Hello and welcome to Enterprise Linux Security, episode 85. As always, I'm here with Zhao, but we're also here with Benny Vasquez, the chair of the board of directors for Alma Linux OS, who I'm very excited to talk to. Both of us are. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you guys?
All good.
Awesome. Awesome.
It's always a pleasure to be here with you, Jay, and welcome, Benny.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
This was an interview that I personally would like to have done some time ago, but yeah, it's when it can be.
Lots of travel.
Lots of travel.
Yeah, that too. Well, of course, I gave a bit of a spoiler, I guess. So Benny, just if you don't mind, for anyone not familiar with you already, if you just want to give your 411 on the millions of things that you're doing.
Sure, yeah. So right now I am sponsored to do Alma Linux full-time. Last year, I was laid off from Microsoft. I was part of the open source product team or product management team there. And in June of last year, when all of the fun stuff happened with Red Hat, we all kind of recognized that this was an opportunity for us. And I was fortunate enough to kind of fall into a situation where I got to do this. I got offered to do this full time. So that's what I'm doing full time right now. I guess I've got other volunteer stuff, but none of that's important.
Congratulations. That's exciting. Working with Linux for a living. I mean, we all do, but we all love it. It's just being paid to do what you're passionate about. I mean, is that what it's like for you? Am I understating it? Because it's just
such an amazing
journey.
It's so much fun because, like, this was a job that I was doing volunteering. Like, it was something I was cared enough about to put in my free time for. And now I get paid to do it, and I don't have to have a day job that I have to balance with this. And it's really nice. It's been awesome.
And especially in a position like that, where you can actually influence lots of things in the Linux space.
Yep.
As we were talking just prior to hitting record here, you've been traveling a lot. We keep seeing you going to events everywhere. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah. So we've been, if I remember correctly, I think we did 17 events last year. We're already set up to do 18 events this year. There's been a lot of excitement around Alma Linux. There's been a lot of, drama in the enterprise Linux ecosystem. And those two things, plus the fact that I get to do this full time, mean that we are getting to a lot of shows. And it's been really awesome to be able to talk to folks and interact with our community directly.
And some of those events are specifically tailored for Alma Linux, right? The Alma Linux Days.
Yeah.
What's special about those?
Yeah. So last year we got to set up our very first Alma Linux Day in Tokyo. This year we have one planned actually in just, 12 days. March 18th will be in Rust, Germany, adjacent to an event called CloudFest. And the Alma Linux Days are one of my favorite things. In Tokyo, the thing that we really did was connect to the open source community there, because we had a ton of users, the open source community in Tokyo is different from anywhere else I've ever encountered. And it was really fun to connect to the people there. We were supported by one of our platinum sponsors to provide that event. They're called CyberTrust Japan, and they mostly put the event together for us and brought us in to connect to our users there. And so it was very like high level overview sort of stuff. In Germany, what we get to do is highlight some of the users that are using Alma Linux in different ways. Either they're a downstream product that is using Alma Linux as their upstream and building cool stuff, or they are using Alma Linux as their operating system of choice, and then I get to just highlight the cool shit that they do. So it's going to be very exciting.
Yeah, I could tell you're very passionate, and it's not only like you could tell that look on someone's face when they have fun at their job. It's just a different appearance, and you can't describe it. I'm definitely seeing it. And even before you were doing this full time, I mean, I'm pretty sure I've seen you at every single convention that I've been to. Like you were, I mean, even before that, you were very active. So that's yeah. just incredible. And now you get to do even more of that.
Yeah, exactly. It's been awesome.
So who's attending? Who's the expected audience at the event in Germany? Is it just industry only? Is it for everybody to attend?
It's for anybody who wants to come. You can get a free registration through the CloudFest event, or you can just come to Alma Linux, to the Alma Linux Day directly. Most of the attendees that I have seen registered so far are either product managers or sysadmins. So it's going to be, the content is going to be really tailored toward people who have a deep understanding of Linux and are curious about our take on it and what we're doing with it. This is how I'm kind of focusing it.
I was asking this because I saw some photos of previous events where you guys attended, and it was almost like a classroom setting where you had these blackboards behind you. Were you actually teaching people stuff?
I bet you're talking about it, FOSDEM. So FOSDEM is an open source event that is just, it's impossible to describe how the magnitude of that event. The only number I know is they had 900 speakers this year. And like the scale of an event with 900 speakers across 2 days. Like it's not a week long event, it's 2 days. And the way that they set it up is very, very familiar and very comfortable to most open source folks that are privacy minded. It's a no registration event. You show up and you go to the talks you want to go to. Nobody's checking badges. Nobody cares what you are, who you work with, or what you're doing for your day job. We're not selling at all. And they take applications for who gets to have stands there. And then they approve the applications based on their own criteria. So it's a very limited, very curated set of projects that get to come. And the thing I like to talk about, last year was our first year there. And without numbers to tell me how many people were going to be there, I didn't really know how many stickers to bring or how many, like we have pins too, how many pins to bring. I brought 500 pins. And I think 750 of our little sticker sheets and some number of stickers. And we were out of stickers and pins and everything by the end of the first day. So this year I doubled it. It said, okay, it should be good. It should be good. Should be enough. And I also got these. If you were at FOSDEM, you saw them. They were these fancy pens. They were regular pens, obviously, but they also had a stylus on one end, and then they had a screwdriver on the end, if you wanted to use that, and it had a level, and it had a short measuring, like a ruler, both in centimeters and in inches. It was very fancy. Wow. And I brought 1,000 of those, and they were gone by 10 a.m. on Sunday. So, like, I'm just... The scale of that event is insane, but the event is held at a university. So all of the talks are held in these massive lecture halls with big chalkboards behind them. And so that's probably what you're talking about is those events or those speaking spots, because both Andrew and I got to share in different presentations this year.
Andrew, that's Andrew Lukoschko, the release engineering person, right?
Yeah. He is our architect lead. He has been invested in Alma Linux since the beginning, and it is extremely, I'll say it's humbling to work with him because he has such a deep understanding of how Linux works, and I am constantly learning from him, and it's very fun.
when you started answering that, that you noticed that the event was aimed at people who are privacy-minded, and then you lumped in all the Linux users in that. Mm-hmm. That's always a good connection to make, and I'm sure many people in the audience relate to that. So,
yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have more control on this platform than any other. So
yeah.
How does one get involved with Alma Linux if someone wants to contribute back or just be involved in some kind of way? What advice do you have, or where would you direct people to go?
So we have not been great about streamlining an onboarding pipeline is the business way to say it. But mm-hmm. The easiest way right now for people to get involved is to join chat.almalinux.org and mm-hmm. find the channel where you want to most interact, I guess. You can, if you want to help build our cloud images, there's a cloud sig channel. If you want to help build with our build process and our build automation, there's a build sig channel. If you want to come help me as the marketing group, there's a marketing channel, because open source doesn't exist without marketing. Even it doesn't matter how awesome your project is, some amount of marketing has to happen, right? I'm actually giving a talk on that at FOSS Asia in a couple of weeks, I guess in a month.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
The things that are most common for folks to contribute, the ways that folks contribute right now, are the easy ones. So things like follow us on social media and reshare our posts to help our reach. Mm-hmm. Because again, it doesn't matter how cool your project is, if nobody knows about it, then you're not going to get very far. And it all comes from our people, the people who care about us, who are excited about what Alma Linux is doing.
As they should be.
I got one more than I wanted to say. Mm-hmm. The other big thing that we love to see is translations. We are sponsored by the folks at Weblate to provide translations for our website. We are always happy to accept new and updated translations because I'm constantly nitpicking the language on the website. So there's always something to contribute. And I think we are up to 15 languages that we have been translated into now. So I have a feeling that you wouldn't have to do the whole website yourself. You would just help contribute.
Nice.
And that was chat.almalinux.org, which I'll have in the description down below is after this is concluded.
Awesome.
And get some people onboarded. That'd be amazing to see more activity there. So if you don't mind, let's switch gears and talk about enterprise adoption, because I feel like that's the part that is going to be very important, because we're in this, I'm sure you'll probably comment on this uncertainty with this distribution, that distribution on account of Red Hat's news, which we've talked about at length, but we have Alma Linux to the rescue.
Yeah,
so
sure.
How is it rescuing the enterprise, or just good in the enterprise?
Sure. So I would say, I don't know how to phrase this, but one of the coolest things there, let's put it this way. There are only a couple of conferences that we go to that are kind of commercially focused or enterprise focused. Most of what we're doing is very community focused. But one of those events that is more enterprise focused is an event called Supercompute. And that is focused on HPC stuff. And that's normally not a huge crowd for us, because there are some reasons that it hasn't been hugely adopted in the HPC world yet, but it's getting bigger and bigger. And this year was the first year that I really felt, felt the love. This was my first year at Supercompute. It's our second year here, or second year at that event. And the way that people just walk up to the booth and say, "Oh, you guys are here. I just installed you yesterday, or I'm using you here, or I'm doing this, has been extremely, just like, it's just warms my heart, right? Because yes, these are enterprises that are choosing Alma Linux, but ultimately when it boils down to it, it's the people that are choosing us. And it's just the excitement that they show. There was a guy from, I don't know if I'm supposed to say it, but it's, he was open about it. There's a guy from Chevron that walked up and said, we just migrated like 50,000 units to you. Like there's all kinds of like massive clusters or massive device farms, if you will, that people have chosen us to be their anchor and their, how do I say it? The
go-to distribution.
Yeah, the go-to distribution, and it's all about trust. The guy from Chevron said the reason that they ultimately chose us is that they felt like we had a stable and no drama approach to what we were doing. We wanted to focus on building a stable Linux enterprise or operating system without having to engage in the antics, for lack of a better word, that so much of us get caught up in, especially in any kind of open source, right? Humans are always going to have disagreements and problems, and too often it becomes a point of not just discussion, but a point of like all kinds of buzz, shall we say.
And to put it nicely.
Yeah, and we don't like that. That's not what we want to do. It's not good, from my perspective, it's not good for our community, it's not good for our users, it's not good for the now 4 downstream operating systems that are based on Alma Linux. It's just, if I were to start allowing that kind of drama or that kind of upset in the Alma Linux ecosystem, then I would feel less secure about what we're doing. We're focused on what we're doing, and the drama passes us by.
And I have to say, both me and Jay, we had quite a heated episode when we discussed the changes that Red Hat announced and how it affected the companies and all of that.
Oh, I heard it.
Let's not forget that CentOS was like this hidden distribution that powered the vast majority of web servers out there, the vast majority of systems that were running out there on the enterprise space. And finding a replacement for that is not just picking the next big thing or the next buzzword that comes around. Oh, now everybody's migrating to this one. Let's go with this one.
Yeah.
Having a stable target to aim for, having something that you can rely on that will be there in the foreseeable future, that you can plan against, that you can have a schedule for upcoming releases and know that it's going to be there and that it's going to be maintained. That has value intrinsically. And it's something that was refreshing to see. And I have to say, I watched you on stage answering a question about how you were going to continue when Red Hat announced changing the closed source. I can't recall at which event it was, but you were there with somebody from SUSE and a couple of other companies.
Oh, and that would have been Fosse. Asked,
probably, like I say, I can't recall the exact event. Yep. But I have to say, your answer to that, in which you basically, there other companies or other organizations are going to go and try to swim against the current and we'll make do and we'll find a way and not engaging combatively in Red Hat and going against Red Hat because essentially we're all in the same ecosystem. And I have to say, even ourselves, we had heated arguments about that and we had a heated discussion about that. And it was refreshing to see somebody, especially in that position, not go down that route and provide some clear-headed comments about it. And that was really something else.
Well, thank you.
Yep. Yeah, that's a good way to handle it. Very, very good. You know, because I think at a certain point, it speaks for itself in a way. Not always, but mostly it does. The community, if it's easy to approach, more welcoming, you have more people in the community. If your community mm-hmm. is not, you'll have fewer people in the community. And if you, you know, if a distribution starts drama when we're all tired of it because we find drama in our RSS feeds every morning, we would rather not have to be on the edge of our seat wondering if there's going to be a surprise distribution migration that we didn't know was necessary until that morning, you know, and then to have something that isn't, you know, using drama, that just, here we are, this is what we are, welcoming community, we want to, you know, help, we want to make a product that people are going to want to use. I think that just, you don't have to stir the pot to get people to use your product. Sometimes it's just the lack of all that makes it even better.
Yeah. And from the beginning, what we wanted to do was hyper focus on a welcoming, deeply just nice community. Mm-hmm. Community. I have been using Linux since 2004, 2005, when I got my first job at what I call my first grown-up job at a company called Liquid Web. And it's a web hosting company here in Michigan. And I, up to that point, had done like Windows desktop administration. And I, in my interview, they said, have you ever used Linux before? And I said, I am pretty sure I checked my email using Firefox and Ubuntu once. Like, I had no Linux experience. And at Liquid Web, they were using CentOS as the base for all of their Linux servers. And I mean, they had some FreeBSD ones and some other distros too, but the vast majority of them were CentOS. And I had no idea that Red Hat existed. It wasn't, for me, it wasn't, we're using this because it's a free Red Hat. It was, we're using this because it's a good OS. And my experience early on with trying to understand Linux and everything else that we were doing more deeply was not entirely positive, especially as a woman walking into those spaces, especially in early 2000s. It was very condescending, very RTFM. It was not, you know, it's not the nicest thing to walk into. And when I joined Alma Linux, one of the things that Jack was already doing right and that I wholeheartedly supported was, everybody that walks in the door is welcome. You get to be here. You get to provide whatever, you get to ask whatever questions you want, because we literally all started somewhere. And if you're not able to ask beginner questions or questions that somebody else knows because they've been doing it for 20 years, then you're not, that's not a welcoming community. That's not a place where people are going to want to gather. And it was really fun to watch him, especially early on, very nicely, but very consistently remind people that beginner questions were fine and you weren't allowed to make fun of people for being beginners. And I think that there's a direct line that you can follow from, we're going to be welcoming and nice to anybody that walks in the door, to, no, we're not going to engage in the drama. we're doing what we're doing. We're not engaging in the drama in that way.
Yep, that's so amazing. Building that welcoming community, especially, you know, combating the toxicity towards women and many other people that have to deal with that. It's just, they just want to be human and just love their technology, contribute to it, make a difference without anything getting in the way of it. And the welcoming community as a whole, regardless of anything personal, just, hey, we all love the same thing. Let's leave the drama mm-hmm. at the door and start hacking on our project. I think that's awesome.
Yep. I'm glad.
So one thing I was going to say too, that I meant to say this earlier and I just remembered it. Like, I just want to call out how awesome your booths are, because every time I go to one of these events, okay, I'll go to insert name of distribution here, because, you know, I don't want to do drama either, but whatever distribution it is, they have some cool stuff. They have some swag, maybe some t-shirts and some, you know, cards you could take with you, info cards about the distro. That's fine. But then you have a server at your booth, that, like a Dell PowerEdge server physically right there running the operating system with a monitor plugged in. It's like, you know, it's almost like my opinion was, it's like, do I want to read about what your distribution does, or am I going to go to this booth and actually see what it does? And then the Raspberry Pi, I think that was that All Things Open? You had the Raspberry Pi and all the Linux running on that.
Yeah.
I felt like it's such so simple and brilliant at the same time, because you're like, here's a server with our operating system on it. I mean, it's baffling to me that you're the only one doing that.
Servers were actually from one of our other, I can't call them a sponsor because they won't sign the paperwork, but they have given us more than enough in hardware and like general support that they should be one of our top sponsors. It's a company called Ampere. They are they're fantastic. They build ARM servers, and so
I want one so bad.
The server that you saw was an ARM server, and it's got those things have 180 cores, and they make no noise, and it's so amazing. I love those things. The show one lives at my house when it's not at a show. And I get to play.
Do you want to show it off on the channel? Just saying.
Maybe. I'm not at my house today because it wasn't going to be quiet enough to record a podcast. But next time we will definitely do some fun stuff with the Ampere server. I love that idea.
That's so cool. I've been wanting to get my hands on one for so long.
You might not know this, Benny, but those servers, the really big ones, are actually heavy as hell. And I know that because one of them was shipped to my house, and then I shipped it to the data center because the data center wouldn't receive the shipment from the US for some reason. And it was in Poland or something. Uh-huh. So I had to haul it myself from the truck to the car, and then from the car to the shipper. And yeah, my back is still hurting slightly from it.
It's one of the most impressive things that you could ever possibly want to do is to carry one of those on your shoulder into All Things Open. So, like, I'll just put it up, like, long ways, right, on my shoulder and walk into All Things Open, and everybody's like, you've got, what are you doing?
Like that Schwarzenegger movie where he's hauling the tree.
Exactly.
I would buckle under the weight of that thing after probably a good half mile.
This isn't related to anything at all, but I'm going to brag because I'm so excited about it. I started powerlifting. I used to do it a million years ago, and then I started again not this most recent November, but the November before. And then in December, I hit a 300-pound deadlift. And so, like,
whoa,
I'm strong. I'm very happy about it.
That is so cool. That is so cool. Yeah. Maybe I'll see if I can get you to come to a karate class sometime, and you could just break some bricks and things. It's always great, fun to break bricks. But
yeah,
that's my tangent. So I wanted to... go ahead, Jeff. Go ahead.
Just before we move from this topic, I want to touch base again on the migration from CentOS and the move to Alma Linux. Mm-hmm. I actually want to ask you two things about that. First, because it was just asked in the chat, and because it's one of the recurrent questions every time that we bring up Alma Linux, how is it that you guys are still maintaining binary compatibility? Is that still a target? Has that shifted? Mm-hmm. Can people still rely on it?
Yeah. So it's actually really easy. I mean, easy is a heavy word there. When the shift happened last year and everybody, it effectively and completely broke our pipeline, our build pipeline. And the thing that Red Hat asked us to do was pull the updates that they were releasing from CentOS Stream, which means that we're both building from the same upstream now. And our Andrew out here killing it is the person who primarily does that work. It's him and a couple other people who pull in the patches and decide where things are going to end up and how we're going to pull those in. But it is very easy to build alongside Red Hat from the same source. We are, because we're both building from CentOS Stream, we're following Red Hat's releases. We're following Red Hat's versions. We're not deviating in any way from that perspective. actually at FOSDEM, Andrew did a talk that was specifically how we build. It goes through where we decide to get our patches from, and how we decide to what to patch and what not to patch out of band, like out of our normal release cycle. He talks about specifically where we get all of the package information. And it's an involved process, but I'm still extremely proud of us. Our first major release, it was a minor version of the OS, but it was the first big release that we did since the change was in November and December. And we released Alma Linux 8.9 and 9.3. And both of those were built using CentOS Stream as our upstream and all of the other places that we get patches. And historically, we were releasing Alma Linux within about a day of Red Hat's release. And we were all kind of bracing because we didn't really know what this was going to look like, because it's not just pulling the sources and repacking anymore, right? And we took a week to release it. But it's only because when Red Hat released on Tuesday, it took us 3 days to rebuild. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And we were ready to release on Friday, but we wouldn't do that to people. So we didn't release until Monday.
You saved a lot of people's weekends. Thank you.
Exactly. We've all been sysadmins. We all know how terrible that would be, right?
Read-only Friday exists for a reason.
Exactly. Exactly.
So I like that saying. Interesting.
Yeah, read-only Friday. So even with the difficulty that we had to overcome and the significantly increased amount of work that we have to do now, we are still doing it within days of Red Hat. And that is entirely because of the team's deep understanding of how this needs to work. And they are really, really good at it. We'll make sure that there's a link for the description that will point people to Andrew's talk at FOSDEM, and they'll be able to go through that exact thing.
Yeah, just go ahead and email it to me. I'll make sure it gets added.
Yeah.
I remember reading, I believe it was in a blog post announcement about this, that if somebody finds something that works on Red Hat and doesn't work on Alma Linux, this is treated like a bug. Mm-hmm. And will be fixed.
Yeah, because that to us is the definition of binary compatibility. If the same software doesn't work in both places, then and it's a problem with the OS, then we need to figure out what that is.
Has that happened yet?
Not that I can think of. There have been a couple of times where they were looking for specific, the Red Hat License Manager or something like that. They were looking for something that just doesn't exist on Alma Linux that would cause problems, but nothing that was specific to the OS that caused problems.
So if somebody that still has a CentOS 7 farm, and again, the public service announcement for today, CentOS 7 is hitting the end of life in June or July, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, you're probably out of time by now, so you really need to start moving your servers to somewhere else, and Alma Linux is a good place to go to.
Yeah.
So, how tricky is the actual migration? How should someone approach the process? Do we need a year-long planning phase or something?
It depends so strongly on your own environment, like how deeply things are customized and how let's just say it depends on your environment. But the Chevron guy that I was talking to, that I talked about, migrated 50,000 units to Alma Linux. He used a project that we're super proud of called Elevate. Elevate allows you to upgrade in place between CentOS 7 and any of the major operating systems that are in the enterprise Linux ecosystem. So you can migrate from CentOS 7 to CentOS Stream. You can migrate to Alma Linux, obviously. You can migrate to Rocky Linux. You can migrate to Oracle Linux. For us, that project was more about solving one of the pain points that we always had as CentOS users, which was upgrades, right? We know how much of a pain that is, and we've been really excited to see forks of that happen too. Obviously, Cloud Linux had one for upgrading Cloud Linux. And then we've got a company called cPanel, who is one of the big operating systems in the web hosting industry. Both them and a company called Plesk, they both have forks of Elevate that allow you to upgrade even if you're using their control panel, because both of those control panels tend to get pretty deep into the operating system, so they need some customizations. But it's been really exciting to see people easily upgrade in that way. And if you, I got an email this morning from a person who's doing, I don't actually know what he's doing. The URL that he used, I won't mention it because I don't know if I should or not, but it looks kind of like a hobbyist car enthusiast. And he said that he's been on CentOS since 2008, I think is what he said, and recently decided to use Alma Linux and has been moving all of his stuff. He tried to use Elevate on the server that has a bunch of custom Perl, but he ran into too many problems, so he just set up a new server and copied everything over. So how you migrate and how you get there depends entirely on what works in your system, but you can use use Elevate if you're still in CentOS 7. If you've already gotten to CentOS 8 and you fail to notice that it's now been end of life for 2 years, you can, or a year and a half, I guess. You can use a script that we have called migrate to Alma Linux, and it just migrates you directly to Alma Linux without any work, with minimal work, we'll say.
It's important to notice and to remind people that for many years the official policy in the CentOS project around upgrades was that you don't upgrade, you backup the data and then you reinstall and then get stuff back in the server.
Yep.
Which isn't technically an upgrade. It's a fresh start every time that you get a new version.
Yep.
And that was the official position of the project. I don't know, version 5 for sure. I can't recall at what version that changed, but that was a pain in the rear end for sure.
Yeah. And especially because it took so long to get the new version of CentOS. So, and through no fault of their own, the CentOS team was really, really small for a very long time. And unfortunately, that meant that as users, Red Hat would release a new version and then we would get those updates 6 to 9 months later. And that meant that you're essentially running an out-of-date operating system for 6 to 9 months. And these days, that's completely unacceptable. Like, nobody would be okay with that in traditional, in a business environment that matters.
Right. Yeah. That's hard to tell somebody you can't upgrade. That's a hard conversation to have. So
exactly.
Especially in the cybersecurity environment where we've seen examples of vulnerabilities being hit like in the same day that they're disclosed or day after or something like that.
Yep.
And yeah, waiting months for an upgrade is just no longer feasible.
Yeah.
So you're making it easy on us with part of that project. But it's interesting to note, you said any other enterprise distribution, I believe, with Elevate. So you're moving from one to the other. So it's just great that, you know, you're contributing to something and not, you know, siloing everybody on the one distribution. It's like, oh, you could go to any other one if you want to as well. So it's kind of a noble thing.
Super community focused for us. We really sincerely believe in the idea that the ecosystem is improved, the more open and the more free it is.
Mm-hmm. And there's always the non-profit aspect behind Alma Linux, right?
Yeah.
That was there from the start. I don't believe that's exactly the same for the other projects. There's some differences there. Can you elaborate a bit on it?
Yeah. So early on, one of the biggest... Let's put it this way. One of the biggest comparisons that people make is between us and Rocky Linux. And what I say to folks that ask about why we've gone nonprofit when Rocky Linux didn't is that I think we're solving the problem that we saw with CentOS in different ways. What the Rocky Enterprise Linux Foundation is set up as a B Corp, which is a corporation that has promised to operate like a nonprofit here in the U.S. We decided to go with the 501c6 status, which is like a trade nonprofit. And the important part for us, it really felt like there's two sides of it. Number one, the lack of a central organizing and ownership body for CentOS meant that it didn't have a place that felt like home for it anytime. And it meant that it was possible for Red Hat to kind of acqui-hire CentOS by hiring the people that were working on it and then deciding what was happening with the project. They got ownership of the project that way. We, as users of CentOS, wanted to make sure that that couldn't happen. So we knew that we needed to set up an organization no matter what. And then the other side of it is that as users, we felt like we didn't get to have a voice in what happened with CentOS. So we wanted to make sure that going forward, no matter what, the people who are most invested in Alma Linux get to have a voice in the future of Alma Linux. So we set up the foundation. We have individual membership for the foundation is free and open for anybody that cares about it. I'm on the membership committee, and one of the things that we decided very early was that the barrier to joining the foundation was going to be fairly low. It's not... there's no, like, you have to have contributed X number of lines of code, or you have to have, you know, done any specific limiting factors. For me, it was most important that if you were involved in Alma Linux or used Alma Linux in any way, you got to have a voice. And that's the way that we've approached it. The nonprofit status means that we can't be bought or sold. If at any point in the future the project decides to be dissolved, then all of any money that we have, any assets that we have, anything has to be transferred to another nonprofit in the U.S. So it's not possible to be bought or sold for us.
Yeah, I think that's important to underscore, because there's a lot of people that might be feeling like, okay, I just got finished with this migration from CentOS, but how do I know that I'm not going to run into the same thing with Alma Linux? And I think that's an important point to hit when there's so much uncertainty right now, when you have a decision made that seemingly came out of nowhere from another company. You just definitely don't want a sense of deja vu in terms of that. And I feel like the fact that, you know, they can't be bought is definitely extremely important. Yes. Right now.
Yep, agreed. And we wanted to set this up in such a way that it will outlast us. Like, we're all humans. We're going to be invested as long as we want to be, and then we'll step away when we're no longer invested in it, right? That's the beauty of open source. And it is super important to me that Alma Linux outlasts me, outlasts my interest, outlasts Andrew's interest, outlasts anybody, because this is a project that people need to be able to rely on for at least as long, or not, if not longer, than they have been able to rely on CentOS.
Then the obvious follow-up question there is, isn't that what Rocky also claims to be doing?
Oh, sure, yeah. The difference... But, go ahead.
Sure. I was going to ask specifically about the non-for-profit part. Mm-hmm. Because I've seen on their material that sometimes they come with that statement. Is that accurate?
I don't think I've ever seen the Rocky Linux folks call themselves nonprofits, because they're not. They've got an actual whole FAQ on their website, on the I think it's the resf.org, the Rocky Enterprise Linux Foundation.org, where they talk about why they've chosen to be a B Corp. And it is... again, it's just deciding to solve the solution or solve the problem in a different way. They are looking at it based on what I've read and what has been said publicly by members of the foundation. They're looking at it from a perspective of, I don't ever want to lose control. So I'm going to maintain control and still allow ourselves to not be beholden to the requirements of a nonprofit.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's an important distinction to make, because especially if an article is to claim it's one thing and Rocky Linux themselves say something else, it's kind of, you know, you looked at the website, you know what it says. And
yeah. And it gets really easy to just kind of say we're both nonprofits because they've committed to working and operating as a nonprofit, but it's unfair to them when they've specifically outlined why they chose not to be a nonprofit.
Thanks for clearing that up.
Yeah.
Going back to the Alma Linux Foundation structure, mm-hmm. I saw an announcement a couple of months back, if I'm not mistaken, in December, of two new board members. Can you tell us more about that? Why the board expanded? Why did that happen? There was a threshold that was hit. Well, at that point, you need to expand or something like that?
Yeah, so there's it's twofold. In our bylaws, for every new platinum sponsor that we sign, we have the option to add two new members to our board, two new like spots to the board. And especially with everything that happened last year and the new investment from the folks who build Miracle Linux and from the folks at CERN and in general, the bigger scientific community and the HPC communities and all of that kind of stuff, we really wanted to make sure that the people who are on the board, the people who are on the board represented at least more of the community of people that use it. And so since we had the opportunity to expand the board and we had some people that we knew were interested, we opened it up and held another election, and we got to add Alex from CERN and Yun from the Miracle Linux folks, who are Miracle Linux, for anybody that's unfamiliar, is an operating system that has been around for more than a decade, that was produced by the company, by CyberTrust Japan, the folks that came in as our platinum sponsor last year. And they have opted to use us as their upstream starting when they release Miracle Linux version 10. They also match Red Hat's releases, so it'll be when Red Hat 10 comes out too. But that means that they're investing early on. They do a bunch of IoT and very security-focused stuff. And so it's been great to have them involved in the community, and having them as part of the leadership made sense too. And it obviously made sense to the community because they were chosen. They got elected.
That's actually very interesting, and it ties into something that was asked in the chat just now. Using Alma Linux as an upstream for your distribution, that's quite an achievement, I would say, having people rely on your work for that. And it touches on something that also happens a lot in the industry, which is with the appliances and the operating systems that are specifically tailored for appliances and all that, many of those were built on top of CentOS. Is there any movement towards integrators like that moving to Alma Linux?
I haven't heard from them directly, but if Reddit is to be trusted, then it sounds like Cisco has decided to base their most recent operating system on us. It's 15, I think, is their version, that starts to be based on Alma Linux. And there's a couple others that, again, I've heard whispers of, but I haven't seen anybody confirm it. That's the beauty of open source, is that they don't have to talk to me. They can find our sources and use them as they need to without fear and without having to have a commercial relationship. That's the whole point, right? Now, I would love to talk to somebody from Cisco about a sponsorship, because that is the other side of open source, is these big companies that take advantage of open source and find ways to give back. So I've had a couple of conversations with some of the folks in the open source office, the OSPO at Cisco. And so I'm sure we'll get them in as a sponsor, but it's that kind of stuff. I am certain there are others. I know that there's a couple of like Zen equivalent sort of things that are working mm-hmm. on being based on AMA Linux too. So yeah, for sure there's movement, and all of those folks are looking for a secure, stable upstream that they can rely on.
Yes. Yeah, aren't we all? That's what we all want, especially after the news. I'm just so, you know, happy with the work that's being done here in a community that's going to, you know, strive to be an example for other communities and be the distribution that Cisco can choose. And there's probably another major company out there that we don't even know is using your software because they just didn't bother to let you know. I mean, it's mm-hmm. got to be great to get a little surprise every now and then. Oh, that company's using something that I'm a part of. That's just got to be an amazing surprise that just kind of keeps happening as you learn more and more about who's yep. using the distribution.
Yeah. I mean, especially I mentioned Supercompute earlier. We've had folks at All Things Open is one of my other favorite community shows, right? And then at mm-hmm. FOSDEM, there was this guy who came up who said he builds point of sale systems for museums all across Sweden, and he had just migrated everything from CentOS to AMA Linux. He was super happy. He was super appreciative, but he said, I really want to give back because I know how open source works. I know that I get to use it and I'm grateful that you exist. And I know that you need things to help you continue to exist. So let's talk about sponsorship. Let's talk about, you know, whatever. There were a couple of different ideas that he had, like build hardware and that kind of stuff. And it's so amazing to hear about all of the people that are using AMA Linux to solve or to do the crazy stuff that they're doing and the amazing stuff they're doing in ways that I would never have anticipated or guessed. And they're just excited to be part of it.
Absolutely. So if there's anything else you want to tell the audience, shine some light on, or I mean, I feel like there's an endless amount of things you could talk about with AMA Linux, so I'm sure it's got to be a hard decision, but anything else you want to shine some light on?
Let's see. Oh, I know what we can talk about because I have not yet finished my blog post about it. So there's a little bit of a scoop kind of. One of the things that we're doing this year, because we have so many shows that we're trying to get to and I am only one person, we are asking the community to join us and as part of the staffing. So I have a Google form that I can send you a link to that okay. We are really hoping to get more people to help staff at events. So really, it's simple. You show up, you stand behind a table, you talk to people about AMA Linux, you answer their questions. It ends up being almost, you know, the same 10 questions all day, every day. And we'll pay for you to go to the event. We'll get you a hotel, and we'll get you travel, and we'll get you a per diem. And it's, for me, it's one more way that I can get people who are super invested in the operating system to talk to other people who care about it. And it'll reduce the number of shows that I have to go to. Because I think last year I did 17 shows. This year we're already agreed to 18. And I love my husband, so.
Right. Understood.
I'd like to see him a bit.
Understood. We'll help you out. I will not only put a link in the description below. If you email it to me, I'll give you a handy dandy short URL you could just pass around as well. So.
Thank you.
No problem.
So, thank you very much for the time that you took to talk to us, Benny.
This was fantastic. I love you guys.
Thanks a lot.
Yes, we love having you. We love you and your work and everything you're doing for the community, the distribution, the passion, which, you know, clearly if anyone's watching the video version, you can absolutely see and hear. And that's what makes a distribution, is that passion. So we really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much to you, Benny, and to everybody who's been watching and listening to the podcast. As always, it was a pleasure, and until the next one, guys. Bye.
Bye.